Abraham Lincoln says, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Now, if you didn't know the story about Abraham Lincoln, failed so many times. He lost his fiancée. He ran for local Senate many times and failed, but just kept going and going and going until he became President of the United States. And it was just him. He says he owes it to his mother. So a mother's influence is never to be underestimated. Mothers are God-given. Well, we're just going to read a little passage of Scripture, and this isn't particularly about mothers, but it applies to us all. It says, if I can get it on my phone. And said, and he himself gained some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some teachers, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. So I'm not particularly going to emphasize about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. As such, I'm not going to go into detail in there. But their job is for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? You and me. We are the saints. So the job of all these people is to equip us for the works of ministry. So the work of ministry within the church is you. The work, the love that's shed to the world is to be done by you. The love that we have to have for one another is to be done by you, not just by the pastor or the deacons or the people who set up, you know, the tea or whatever, the prayer ministry. It's to be done by everybody. And I think if we are to have a ministry, the most important ministries are those that lift up the ministries of others. So again, like with everything within Christ, it's like it's focusing on somebody else. You know, I think we can say, you know, about my ministry, and see on TV the people are building up their own ministries, but the ministry of all of us is to lift up other ministries, to help others in their walk with Christ. And that, yes, is a ministry in itself. But all these people, it's for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's for the equipping of the saints, so that we can be a perfect man to the measure of the stature, so we can come to the fullness of Christ. So if we want to lift up other ministries, and I think that I've chosen this morning because mothers do that in such an important way. Mothers can lift up the ministries of others, of their kids. Now, I read about Susanna Wesley. We've heard of John and Charles Wesley, and she was so important in their ministry. They went, basically, God, through them, changed the course of this nation and lifted people's hearts back to God by their preaching all over the place. But Susanna Wesley was the youngest of 25 children. 25 of them. I'm not sure how many survived, but she's the youngest of 25. So she's, you know, she's obviously had some probably mothering herself over those years. But she herself had 19 children, 9 of whom died, 2 sets of twins. So she's 19 children. And yet she devoted herself to God and to bringing up of these children. And I read something that what she set in her heart to do was to spend individual time with each one of those 10 remaining children to imprint something of God into their lives. What an important ministry that mothers have. Huge ministry. There's a guy called Lord Shaftesbury. Don't have a clue who he is, but this is what he said. Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. So a lifetime of mothers can influence the young people that come through. So the ministry of mothers is to lift their kids up to excel. What a responsibility, but what a task, and what a good job that mothers do on the whole. And Portia, what she's been saying about these ladies and all the kids, and their heart, even when they've been in such a situation, is to go and help others. Hallelujah. That's good. It is good. Tell your faces. It's okay. We can cheer up. But we can tell. We can tell. So we're going to go on, move on in this passage. So the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry, that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now within the church, there's all sorts of people that can come into the church that come with a new thing and a fresh thing, and it's and on the surface of it, it can be seen brilliant, and because it's enthusiastic and it's got the lights and the razzmatazz. But when we're in Christ and when we're equipped by apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors and teachers, that we should no longer be carried about by every wind of doctrine, that we stay true to the Word of God. The Word of God is a gift to us. God's Word, when spoken into our lives, and we can look at the Word of God. Whenever we hear something from a preacher, including myself and every single person that stands up here on the pulpit, we should check it out with the Word of God so we're not tossed to and fro. No preacher is perfect. And nobody that speaks a testimony is perfect, but we've got to check it out with the Word of God, that we're not swayed with every wind of doctrine to and forth, and we get excited about one thing and excited about another, and you know that sort of thing, that we can be grounded and rooted in faith, and that we can actually recognize falsehood within the church. Now, the Bible often talks about false prophets and false teachers. They happen within the church from time to time, but if we're rooted in the Word of God, and then we can recognize them. And when people are trained to recognize counterfeit notes, they don't study the counterfeits. They study the real ones, so they can tell what the real one looks like. But if we study the Word of God, we can actually recognize falsehood more easily. So we need to remain in the Word of God and be led by our pastors and teachers and evangelists, that we're no longer carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. So there's some things in there. The whole body is joined and knit together, that we are knit together in Christ, that we are his church. And the Bible also says that we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. The apostles and prophets as the foundation, Jesus as the cornerstone, and we as living stones. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're a living stone, I presume." You don't have to hit them, John. So we are living stones. We are being built up, knit together, joined together in Christ. You know, people say, oh, the church is divided, but in Christ we are together. Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is knitting us together. He is bringing us together as one and as into this living Christ. And that every part does its share. That everybody is meant to minister. Everybody. We give lots of opportunities in the church for people to come up and testify, people to give words of encouragement. And if you have a word, you know, there's the opportunity to do that. If you ever feel that God's saying something to you, then if there's not maybe that outward opportunity, come and grab myself and say, yeah, I want to share this with the church, because we're to build one another up. Or it might be just after the meeting that God has a word for you, for somebody else to lift them up. And it might be just a word of encouragement. And I know ladies like to say, you know, oh, you're looking lovely today, and that gives you a boost, doesn't it? Girls do that. Oh, I love your dress. Yeah, that's nerdy. But guys don't do that. We kind of nudge each other like this. And I don't know if you've noticed this morning that me and Andreas have dressed the same colors. Brown shoes, red trousers, grey top, blue underneath. Yeah. Twins. Oh, Andres, your colour scheme's lovely this morning. So, but girls, you know, you lift one another up, don't you? And we can say something, we can encourage one another. The last couple of weeks at house group, we just played an encouragement game where we just lifted up something about one another and said something nice, and we felt encouraged, didn't we? Just say yes. Yeah. Okay, we did. Yeah. So we felt encouraged. So we're to be built up, joined together, that every part ministers. We're not just supposed to come to church and that's it, just to listen. You're supposed to listen and then put it into action to be a doer of the word of God. To cause the growth of the body for the edifying of self. We're meant to edify ourselves. But this morning we edify our mothers. We love that God has given us mothers. Just thinking about Mary, what a responsibility placed on a young girl, probably a teenager. You know, the Savior of the world placed within her womb for her to give birth, to nurture, to love, and as Jesus grew in wisdom, that his wisdom grew beyond hers, and she had to nurture and love. What a responsibility. And she treasured all the things that were said about Jesus in her heart. So she treasured them. She loved Jesus. Hallelujah. What an example for us all. That she loved Jesus. Her physical son. As well as the Son of God. She treasured all these things in her heart. And she brought him. It doesn't actually say very much about what she did or how she did it. If it was important, it would have been put in there. But it says she treasured all these things in her heart. And that example, Jesus' example, you know, like that verse before that the job of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers is to equip the saints to think about other people. And Jesus' example, he was constantly thinking about his heavenly Father and about others. Even on the cross, when he was in absolute agony, he was thinking of other people. He said seven things we find that he said on the cross. Most of them were thinking about others. Now, if I was in agony in any way, has anybody had man flu? Have you had man flu? Yeah. Andreas, my twin this morning. I mean, all we do is, and Claire tells me off for it. In fact, I hurt my knee and she said, you're not going to mention your knee again, are you? Because I think about myself. Jesus' example was that he thought about others even when he was in agony. These are three of the things that he said. He says, Father, forgive them. He was thinking about them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He was thinking about the people who nailed him to a tree. Everybody else would be cursing them, feeling anger against them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Then he says to the guy next to him, one of them's abusing him. The other one recognizes who he is, and he thinks about him. He said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He's given him a promise and assurance, even when he's hanging on a cross, that he's going to be in paradise today with him. He's thinking about others. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So he knew what was going on. He knew he was about to breathe his last. Two other things that he said. The only thing that I can think of, the seven things that he said on the cross, he said, I thirst. I thirst. The other things are all thinking about others, and I'm sure there's meaning in I thirst as well. Even when he's on the cross, he thought about his mother. He saw John and his mother's son, and he said, here, your son, he was saying to his mother, and he said to John, here is your mother. He was looking after his mother while he was in agony on the cross. He was thinking of others, his mother. He's saying, John, take care of my mother. And it said that John took her to what is now modern day Turkey, and that's where they lived. Well, I went to a place that they said where they lived, but I'm not so sure. But John took care of her, and Jesus was thinking about the future of his mother whilst he was hanging in agony on the cross. And then this is the one: it is finished. Jesus' purpose upon life was to come as a sacrificial lamb. So the wrath of God came out on him. And when the wrath of God had been poured out upon him, he said, "It is finished." All our sins were paid for. Whilst he was hanging on the tree in agony, he was thinking about us. All the sins we've ever done, and we have been selfish since birth. I know that I have been selfish. I told you before, when I was a kid, I wanted what I wanted to do. I was selfish, and yet Jesus, when he was hanging on the tree, paid for that selfishness. He paid for it all, so that when I come before the cross, that I know I can enter into heaven, have every single sin wiped out because of what he did. He thought about others. And many mothers today have taken that example and they have shared and they have given up their own life. They haven't paid for our sins on the cross, but they have given up their time. My mum, five of us, four lads who were pretty boisterous, loud, always up to something. Don't point at Ian, Chris. Ian was probably the quietest. But she took five of us and she invested time within us. She placed the word of God within us. And us four lads, we continue with Christ today. And that's partly down to my mother. Because she followed the example of Jesus of giving. Now, mother's not perfect. And I know I make fun of her funny little Irish voice. But she's been a great mother. And just don't tell her, she'll get big-headed when she comes back. It is finished. It is finished. Our example, first and foremost, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his life. You know, when you read about him, he said, when the sick came to me, he healed all the sick. And with medical science not being as far on as today, there would have been a lot of sick people. So he spent his time healing the sick, caring for people. And it says he had compassion upon them. He had compassion upon them. And he went all the way to the cross. Now, I've been thinking this week, I've come across two young people that need parental figures. There was one young lad that I went into school to do a lunchtime club, and this guy came to the door of another classroom, and I said, "Oh, how are you doing? Are you all right?" And we had a bit of a chat, and then the teacher from within the classroom said, "Get back in here," because he was in isolation. He wasn't allowed to talk to anybody, so I was in trouble with the teacher. But I apologized, and then late I was in the leisure center the day afterwards, and they said, "Oh, you do Friday night football," and they said, "Come into the room, and we've got some video footage of Friday night football last Friday." And I said, "One lad, he's been kicking a ball and he's kicked it against the camera, and we have to pay for it to be fixed. Can you identify this young person?" And so I went in, and guess who it was? The same lad that had been in isolation. Thought if there was one person who could be. But this lad kind of roams the streets, and he has parents, but they don't seem to take much care of him. And now this young lad needs mentors, parental provision. And my heart just went out for him. There's so much I can do for him, and every time I see him, I try to say something positive, ask about how he's doing, but he needs somebody. Because his parents don't seem to have much care, he needs a father figure, or he needs some mothering. And there's another young girl at school. Whilst I'm lined up in my buses, there's a girl and there's a group of them. But this girl I know is in trouble. I don't even know her name, but she comes around and smokes around the back of my bus every day at school, and because the teachers can't see her from the other side of the playground, and I know she's about to get expelled. And I don't know what her situation is. I don't know who she is, but she's obviously lashing out or just searching for something. She needs a mother figure. She needs a lady to get alongside her. I'm not sure what the school is doing, but there's lots of these kids that we meet on a Friday night and in school that need mothering, fathering, mentoring, somebody to get alongside them. And that should be our job as a church. We meet 120 lads every Friday night. And most of them are really, really nice. Like they'll thank you, that we'll get alongside them. But there's some that do need that extra bit. And it's up to us. If we as a church don't do it, this church and other churches, who will? There are people that need a mother figure or a father figure. And all through the Bible, you know, the leaders that came up had mentors. There was Moses, and there was Joshua. He brought Joshua through. There was Elijah and Elisha. There's Paul and Timothy, and obviously Jesus brought all his 12 disciples. You know, a lot of Jesus' ministry, 3 years, was with them, investing in them, so that when he died and he rose again, and he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they took the word, they took the gospel to the nation. So he was ministering to them. So Jesus mentored people, so that when he went back to heaven, their ministry excelled, and then they made other disciples. Our job is not, our ministry is to lift up the ministry of others. There is young teenage boys and girls like the ones I've mentioned that need mentors, need mothers, need fathers. And in that way, Jesus brings it. And Jesus can bring, I believe with all of my heart, even these kids that are causing trouble, God can make the most mighty men and women of God that we've ever seen. I believe that with all of my heart. And you, or Jesus Christ, through you, can make the difference. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you set the example. You gave up everything for us. And Lord, I thank you for all the mothers within this church. Lord, all the mothers in this area, and I pray, Lord, that they be blessed today. Lord, that they see how precious and how vital they are, Lord, to our society, to the church, to all of our children. We just pray that they be blessed today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.